What's up? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. If you missed hour number one, thank you for joining us. Good morning, good afternoon. What's going on? It's a hump day already, short week, meaning we've got lots to cover between now and Friday, so let's not waste time. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. If you did miss that hour number one, we talked almost exclusively about the story, weird story too, about Brian Colangelo of the 76ers maybe having 5 burner accounts on Twitter. Allegedly, The Ringer had a report where they were tipped off that he was running 5, or somebody was running 5 burner accounts. So a burner account is an anonymous account. You don't know who's behind it, and you use it for whatever your agenda or purpose might be. Whoever was using those accounts was using those accounts to crack on Sixer players, pump up Brian Colangelo, among many other things. Colangelo says, yes, I had one of them, and I used that burner account to follow news and notes around the league. This would not be unusual. Believe me, if this is an executive with a burner account on Twitter, he's not the only one. In fact, I'm sure most do. But most would not have 5, and most would not have accounts to torch their own players with. So, do you think he did it? He says he did not. If he didn't do it, who did it? Somebody looking to make him look bad, or somebody looking to make him look good? An investigation is going to be underway, and we'll find out then. Personally, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and speculate. I don't know. I just know that I want to know. And that's not the only story about Twitter today. In fact, it's not the only story about the Sixers and Twitter today, or online media today. Joel Embiid is all over it. And if Joel is on social, it's a good thing. I'll have that story for you a little bit later on. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Bills Mafia, Kyle Williams, makes his return. That's coming up at 40 past. Golden State Warriors GM Bob Myers at the top of hour number 3. I want to reset the conversation I had with Inky Johnson, the great Inky Johnson, one of my favorite podcasts. That's Ep 39. It's out right now. You should look for it. See, now think about social. Let me double back to that for another moment. I could do an entire program, all 3 hours, literally every single day, just talking about social media and the way guys use it, the way guys get abused, or the way guys abuse it, the way guys get played, the way people play other people, the way people get use. I could do an entire show on social media alone. And not one show, an entire show every single day. But that's not what I want to do. But this next story is also Twitter related. And it involves Cleveland Brown Damarius Randall. And I want you to check this. This guy tweeted this. And to quote my 13-year-old son, no, actually. Whenever I call Logan on something, or Logan, if I say something and Logan doesn't believe it, he'll go, no, actually?
Rogan Loam.
Yeah, that guy, Rogan Loam. He'll go, no, actually. Like, no, actually? Like, we went to a basketball game once, and one of the alumni guys at UC Santa Barbara was all hugging up on Logan. I said, Logan, man, that guy loves you. He goes, no, actually. No, actually, Dad, I think he does. No, so this guy, Damarius Randall, tweeted this. No, actually, he did. Quote, if the Cleveland Cavaliers win the 2018 NBA Finals, I'll buy everyone who retweets this a jersey. So you've got a Brown saying that if the Cavaliers win, every retweet gets a gamer. On the surface, it looks like an amazing gesture from a guy who arrived in C-Town in an off-season trade with the Packers. I mean, I see you working. You want to talk about winning over your new fans. There's no better way to do it than with a generous gift. If they win, we win. Everybody wins. I love that. Damarius is all in on Cleveland and Believeland. But wait, come to find out, that's not what this is about. That's not what he's doing. What this is Damarius is a huge Warriors fan. And he made that tweet from the standpoint of, oh yeah, right. The Cavaliers are going to win. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If the Cavaliers win, I'll buy everybody a jersey. But that's not going to happen, and I'm not going to have to do jack. That's where that guy's coming from. This is not about him being a great guy. This is not about him rolling into Cleveland with a truckload of gamers for everybody to celebrate the win. No, this is about this guy backing up a truckload of salt with him. And you know what? I like that even better. That's even better. Him saying, if they do, I'll buy everybody a jersey, is even better than him saying, if they do, I'll buy everybody a jersey. Because what he's saying is, they're not going to. It'll never happen. And if they do, I'll buy y'all gamers. I mean, everybody knows about the goofy wagers, the corny wagers between mayors of cities or between teammates who went to rival schools. Like, if my school beats yours, you have to rock my jersey for an entire week. Except in this case, that bet is between Demarius Randle and essentially all of Ohio, especially since, and one of you can help me with this, the last I saw, those retweets were up to 719,000. 719,000 retweets. Now it's 753. So now he's over 750,000 retweets. This means if C-Town shocks the world and they pull off that upset, my man is headed to a local sporting goods store and ordering close to 1 million jerseys by the time he's said and done. And at roughly $100 a pop, that's going to add up to roughly $100 million. 100 mil. Now, like Hawk, I am no mathematician.
The simple maths.
But that's more than his salary. That's more than Demarius' salary by a factor of, let me check, a ton. And don't get me wrong. This guy's not casually rooting for the Warriors. My man's all in. But that doesn't mean that he's not happy for Cleveland. In fact, he's thrilled. Check out this tweet. Quote, you want to talk about backing up a truck of salt. Quote, I'm glad the Cavs made it to the finals so I can watch Curry light that bitch up in game 3 and 4. Uh-oh! He's going to be courtside to see it. My man, that is incredible. Straight freaking fire. I am so glad the Cavaliers made it to the finals. Not because it's great for the city. Not because it's great for the fans. Not because we're witnessing the best player of a generation doing an amazing thing in LeBron. But because I won't have to travel that far to see my team beat Cleveland. I mean, what a tweet. That's amazing. Now, some might say it's stupid and it's reckless to come rolling into a new city and immediately start trolling their fans, especially when that city is Cleveland and they take their sports very seriously, especially when you haven't played a single game or even a single snap for that team, because you're going to take fire back. Except Randle, man, he couldn't care less. My man is going in. He's going in, and it's awesome. Almost as awesome as his response to somebody tweeting at him. Quote, that's quite the way to ingratiate yourself to a new fan base. And he fired right back. Quote, they will love me when they see me play free safety. I'm telling you, this dude's a legend. And if you're a Browns fan and you saw that and now you hate Randle because of these tweets, and you got to check yourself. You're going to get all bitter about this guy because he roots for a different basketball team. He's rooting for the Warriors, not the Bengals, not the Steelers, not the Ravens. These guys have a little bit of fun. You should too. Lighten up. I mean, why is everything so personal now? Why is it that when it comes to your team and your town, everything is a reason to go? I'm not saying you shouldn't be proud. I'm not saying you shouldn't defend your town and your team. But why is everything a reason to go now? Besides, if this guy's wrong, you can talk all the junk you want and you get a free gamer. So what are you so uptight about? Worst thing to happen to y'all. Are you kidding? He's one of the best. And especially if the guy is as good as he says he is on Sundays. So, if you think he's joking about the jersey bet, he's also not. At least he says he's not. Because somebody retweeted his original offer with the comment of, quote, 0% he delivers. Randall again fired right back with a retweet and said 100% chance. So, here's where I come out. I respect the tweet. And even more respect if you somehow follow through on that tweet, especially since it might cost you 75 to 100 mil. Hope that's worth it. Luckily for him, he's never going to have to find out. I love it. C-Town, man, don't be so sensitive. Have a little fun with it. Hey, look, if the guy's right, no harm, no foul, see you on Sundays. If the guy's wrong, you get a free gamer. And he's got to scratch a check for 75 mil. And the internet's in ink. I love it. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the phones. I'm telling you, if you call enough, if you stay on it, if you come in every single day, and you show up every single day, and you keep banging on that door, one day you knock it in. Today's the day. Let's go to the D. Josh in Detroit. Bidding for a golden ticket. This guy wants it as badly as anybody. Let's find out. Josh, what's up? How are you? Go ahead, Josh. You're on the air. Josh.
Oh! You don't like that call.
Oh, Josh. I guess if you stay on hold every single day for 3 hours, and then one day, out of the blue, without any warning whatsoever, I go to you early in hour number two, you probably wouldn't be ready. Bad news, Josh. Back to the end of the line. Dude. Josh. I mean, you were on hold literally 2 months to get on the air with that. And I went to you and you weren't there. And now you'll frantically call back. Oh, right here I am. I'm ready. My man, you might be ready now, but you sure as hell weren't ready when I came to you. Back to the end of the line. Hey, Alvin, rack him.
Rack
this email.
Him.
Hey, Jumpman, Demarius Randall will never have to regret his statement about buying everybody a jersey. Regards, Jim Rome offering bum smack, personal appearance smack, rat family jokes, and the Toby and Houston call to the clones if they get him to number one on the podcast rankings. Signed, Tony from Iowa City. Well played, Tony. Well played. Were you interviewing Kirk Ferentz and or Hayden Fry if you get into the Hall of Fame? That's interesting. I'll put that on the list. Hey, Tony, listen, Ferentz was the guy who didn't want to do the show. I always want to talk to him. Nothing personal there. I got nothing. How about this? I've got nothing against anybody. Anybody who wants to come on can come on. How about that? Except Alonzo Mourning. Anybody other than that can come on. Kirk Ferentz, Tony Stewart. I didn't say no to these people. They said no to me. So you're more than welcome to come on. Hey, Rome, everybody gets a jersey if the Cavs win? How about the Browns just focus on a win? Damasio in Albuquerque. Yeah, how about that? And Rome, offering up a free gamer if C-Town wins the championship is the biggest gamble a Randall made since Randall decided to have a vodka drink, a cider drink, and a logger on that remote and got knocked out. Sign the clones.
Yeah!
Chris no longer in St. Pete. Wore outside sales. Wore Demetrius Randall. Demetrius? Now you're just making up names. Wore Demetrius Randall claiming his account was hacked. He won't. He's retweeting everything. He's fighting back on everything. He's not going to say he was hacked. As far as Randall and that ill-fated remote, listen, man, it's gotten away from all of us at some point, hasn't it? Haven't we all been there? Haven't we all had a vodka drink, a cider drink, and a lager, even on a remote, and got knocked out? First of all, when you say knocked out, do you mean blacked out or knocked out? And did he get knocked out or did he pass out? I don't know what happened, but I know he bounced back and rallied. Randall's a gamer now. No! Yeah! I did not get knocked out. I got you, Randall. You're my man. You're my man. Randall's hardcore jungle. Charlie in Goochland, quote, "That was the best call Josh in Detroit has ever made." Yeah, you and 8 million other people have already said that. Stephen H-Town, "Rack Josh. He really is improving." Right, nut. I said that. Johnny Scab, "Jimmy, that was just Josh's best call ever. Rack him.
Rack him.
Rack him.
Rack him.
Josh, I'm sorry, bro. I mean, I guess if I were the best guy ever, I'd bump you right to the front of the line. But you got to be ready. Let that be a lesson. I'm sending a message to everybody. Be ready. You called me. I didn't call you. So if you're going to call me, be ready when I come to you. You don't know how long that wait's going to be. It might be 5 minutes. It might be 5 months. In Parody Larry's case, you never know. If you're on hold, be ready. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. War outside sales. I will war that. That is a tough gig. I tried it. I failed. I sucked. It was horrible. I still have nightmares about it. "Hey, Mr. Prospect, I'm going to be in your neighborhood on Tuesday the 18th or Thursday the 20th. What works better for you?" "The 18th. Very good, sir. Would 3 o'clock be a good time, or would you rather we do it earlier at 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock. Very good. See you then." Click. "Wow, how did that guy do that to me? I don't need a copier. I don't want to talk to him. It's just that he had these, like, weird ways of saying things and tied me down. Next thing I knew, I had an appointment." Yeah, because that worked so well. Can't tell you how many times I got F-bombed trying that little strategy out. Good thing about outside sales, too. At least you never, ever run into a receptionist or an office manager who is a power monger, who lives for one thing, to control what he or she can control, and to choke your ass out when you come in and ignore the no solicitation sign. I mean, as sales reps, we're trained to see no solicitation as reading, "Come on in. Come on in. What are you selling? I'd love to hear from you." Man, that's a hard life. That takes a different breed. So let me war every outside sales rep. Let me war everybody who cold calls. Let me war everybody who's got to sweat that white grease board that goes back to zero every single month. You are a better person than me. Better, smarter, more talented, tougher, better at life than I am. Because I tried that life on for size and I did not like it at all. And I tried hard. When we come back, Kyle Williams later on this hour. Bob Myers next hour. And my man Joel Embiid doing what he does best. Getting freaking nice. Right when I thought that I couldn't love Joel Embiid anymore, I do. 2018 is going fast. We're already into June, virtually. We all want to make sure that the last half of this year was as good as the first. That this entire year is our best year ever. I'm talking to contractors, builders, and remodelers, especially. You want to elevate your game for the rest of the year. You want to finish strong. You can do that by checking in with my friends at Lumber Liquidators. They've got a brand new LL Pro Plus program. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team. You can call on them for all of your professional flooring needs. LL Pro Plus will help you annihilate it the rest of this year with professional pricing and dedicated support to get you what you need when you need it, so you can get your projects done on time. LL Pro Plus gives you the ultimate value and quality. And with LL Pro Plus, no job is too large, no job is too small. Put the flooring experts, my pals, on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to LumberLiquidators.com. LumberLiquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever, and let's do it with Lumber Liquidators.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Men, if you're ready to reduce the gray in your hair, Go with the smartest product available, Experience Control. Experience Control GX from Just for Men. The first shampoo with a brain. Now, what makes it so smart? It reduces gray the same way gray grows in, very gradually. The more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you have. Just use it until you like what you see. Pretty smart, right? Smart enough to be voted Men's Hair Care Product of the Year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo of the brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle. That's Control GX. Look for it in the shave aisle. Kyle Williams joins me in about 15 minutes. He's a defensive tackle with the Buffalo Bills. Coming up next hour, top of the hour, Golden State Warriors GM Bob Myers. My thoughts on Joel Embiid coming up a little bit later on. We've got an amazing podcast episode, which we dropped yesterday with Inky Johnson, one of the most electric, compelling personalities I've ever spoken to. Literally. No hyperbole in that. Ink is amazing. So you want to look for that, and I want to reset that. I've got time right now, though, for a phone call or two, so let's get back to work. We go to South Carolina. Diane is in South Carolina. Diane, hi. Good morning. Nice to have you.
I appreciate getting on. I just had called because I'm retired and I'm up in age and I need more things to get on my mind. And I thought, well, I'm gonna start. I've always watched some football, but I need to put my mind on something and not, well, anyway, to help not getting down. And I started watching all sorts of sports. I watched the National Hockey League this week, and Washington played Vegas, and I had read a little about hockey, but not much, and I thought, I'm going to pull for Vegas because I read that article about them, and they won. But anyway, so I was surprised how I began to understand the game as I watched it, which I've never watched a hockey game. And then I've watched college sports. I can't afford Dish offers the lowest package. That's what I have. And I thought, well, I don't get any ESPNs. And I started looking, and I found your show. And I just watch it every day, and I'm learning an awful lot just by listening to you. And so I had wondered what I ought to start getting a sports magazine. I know I've heard of Sports Illustrated.
All right, Diane, let me jump in, Diane. First of all, you are such a dear, Diane. Let me help you with this. Hawk, put her on hold so you can hear this, Diane. I need, because I'm running out of time, Diane, so I want to put you on hold. First of all, thank you very much for finding the show. I think that's great. She said, I'm retired, and I don't want to get down, so I started watching sports to take my mind off things, and I found hockey, and I found the Capitals, and I found Vegas, and I'm starting to figure out that sport, and I'm surprised by how much I like that. And then she said, do you know, I don't have the full package with Dish, so I can't afford ESPN, but I found your show. Good news is, Diane, you're not missing anything at all by not being able to afford that. Now, when you talk about magazines, you know a lot more than I thought. It's funny when you said, so can I get a magazine? Can I read a magazine? Can I learn by reading a magazine? The thing about magazines is that's a tough business. I only subscribe, believe it or not, and I'm in this business, and it's my job to scour as much information as possible. Diane, there are only two magazines that I have delivered to my home that are sports magazines. The first one you mentioned, Sports Illustrated, which is still a great magazine with tremendous writing and some of the most impressive, talented people in our business. Some of the best reporting in our business is still done for that magazine. So that's a very good way to go. I would recommend Sports Illustrated. And the second magazine that I subscribe to, and it's only because I can't figure out how to kill it, and it just keeps coming, ESPN. And that comes from my mailbox and goes right into my garbage can.
Garbage!
So, yeah, Sports Illustrated is a great way to go. Diane, CBS. Diane, so nice to meet you. Clones, get your acts together, man. You handle that. You handle that responsibly and respectfully. That's my dear right there, Diane. Diane, I've got something. You won't understand this, but this is very positive what I'm about to say. War Lady Clones. Diane in South Carolina found the show on CBS Sports Network.
More
the podcast continues, or I should say the simulcast continues to pay dividends. I love it. Diane, so nice to meet you. So very good to meet you, and I'm glad that you are watching sports and that it helps and you're enjoying it and you want to learn more. That's why we're here, to inform, entertain, help, and maybe take your mind off other things. It's the best compliment I ever get, and I've done this a long, long time. Hey, Rome, thank you for being there. You're like a friend. You're there every single day. You take my mind off other things, serious things, painful things, maybe a job I really don't like very much. Best compliment ever.
I'm learning an awful lot.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and rack her, Alvin. Do it. When we come back, Kyle Williams joins us. Buffalo Bills defensive tackle. See, Diane gets what she deserves. Josh got what he deserved. Bob Myers coming up next hour. But first, Kyle Williams. But even before that, a sports update. Here is the latest for you on this Wednesday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown, as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. We are efforting Kyle Williams. We'll have that momentarily. Quick check of Twitter. At Salahandro tweets, that was Marie's burner phone. Hashtag, no, actually. At Hairless Chimp tweets, Jimmy, please pass my Canadian regards on to Diane in South Carolina. There is nothing I would rather do right now than sit with her, sipping some lemonade and watching a game. Concur. Chris in MD tweets, where are you telling callers that you're running out of time when you take their call at the beginning of a segment? What do you mean by that? At DH1029 tweets, Rome, I would have never thought that you going on TV would make you a magnet for old women. Let me tell you something, Dave. You take what you can get. It's all right.
I appreciate getting on.
I mean, hey, listen, it's other than Janet, it's been a long time since a lady has talked that sweetly to me. I like it. Alfie. Ian McLean tweets, Romy, rack the old bat and put her in the smack off. That's a 10 times better call than that bag from Detroit ever made. That's true. Justin from the 920 in the 715 tweets, box of chaos idea. A senior smack off for the elderly, i.e. Marie, Winona, Diane, and the ilk. It wouldn't work because they don't talk smack. They're all nice. They're all sweet. They're all nice. They're lovely. They just want to check in. They're complimentary. What kind of a smack off would that be? It'd be like a nice off. It would be nice radio is what it would be. Where everything was positive. Everything was glorious. Everything was nostalgic. Everything was nice. It'd be the antithesis of what we do here on a daily basis. Nice. Maybe we should do it. All right. Where are the demands? I feel like we're down. We've run out of demands. Do you want me... or do you want me to do something or say something that I haven't done on the program that generally is off limits? I'm saying shoot me a demand in exchange for a vote for the National Radio Hall of Fame. The voting begins next week. And when I first said, hey, clones, can you help me out here? My category this year is a voter category. A number of you said, hey, Rome, you got it. Tell us when. Tell us how. We'll help you get in. I said, that'd be awesome. Thanks so much. But a number of you also said, hey, wait a minute, what do we get? What's in it for us? And my response was, what do you want? And then the demand started coming. Do this, Rome. Say this, Rome. I said, okay, that's fine. Just understand, I'm willing to do it, but not the things that we did with Rome again. All right, so that's coming up in a moment. But as promised, we're joined right now by a defensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills, a five-time Pro Bowler, 41 tackles, 3 sacks, a fumble recovery, and a rushing TD last season. He helped lead the Bills to the postseason for the first time since 1999. A fifth-round pick out of LSU way back in 06. Buffalo was 9-7. They open up against Baltimore on September 9th. We are joined by Kyle Williams. Kyle, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. How's it going?
Great, Kyle. It's great to visit with you. Thanks so much. Let me first ask you, back in March, you signed that new contract with the Bills. They made it very clear they wanted you back. I'm curious about your process. Were you at all curious to see what else was out there, or was there no doubt in your mind that you were where you wanted to be?
Well, you know, I think having been somewhere so long and, you know, having grown such a great admiration for our community and our fan base and our team and really for Sean and Brandon, you know, I really felt like we were headed in a good direction. I have a lot of respect for those guys and, you know, really wanted to see the process through here. Obviously, I had other opportunities, but, you know, they never really materialized, and I think I ended up right where I'm supposed to be.
Kyle Williams joining us. I thought you had a great line after you signed that deal. Kyle, you said, quote, when it comes down to it, as eloquently as I can put it, I haven't exhausted myself in pursuit of what my dream is for playing this game, playing for this organization, and chasing being a champion, end quote. I mean, I really love that phrase. I haven't exhausted myself in pursuit of what my dream is. I mean, how would you describe that dream and what you've been chasing your entire life?
Well, you know, it's just, you know, you have a vision for what you want to accomplish and who you want to be and the type of player you want to be. And at this point, you know, I think obviously, you know, being 13 years into it, you know, my, what you would say, quote unquote, are my prime years may or may not be behind me. I can still be a good player, which I think I am. And I can continue to build. But at this point it's, hey, you know what? I want to be a champion. And I also want to pass on a legacy of what work looks like real work. Hey, what does it mean to come out here and grind? And I want to pass that on to my friends and my teammates and continue to help them get better, and they can pass it on down the line, and all of that in pursuit of what, you know, the ultimate goal is in this game, and that's being a Super Bowl champion.
I love that. Kyle Williams joining us. What about playing until you've exhausted your pursuit? I mean, like, playing in the NFL is exhausting. Playing your position the way you do and at the level you have, it'd be easy to be exhausted and beat up at the end of the year. So in terms of that part of the process, in the offseason, do you check in with yourself at the start of each offseason to see if you've exhausted yourself? And if so, how do you know that you're good to keep chasing that dream?
You know, I just think that if there's a flicker for me, there's going to be a flame. And I love to play. I love being in the locker room, being with teammates, old teammates, new teammates, you know, all the way around. And like I said, if there's a little bit of glimmer that I want to do it, I'm going to pursue it. This is such a short season of life, even when you get to do it for a long time, that, you know, I think you owe it to yourself to give it its full effort and its full due. And by that is, you know, going out and preparing and working and saying, hey, I'm going to give it my best shot again. And then I'll reevaluate at the end of the year and see how I feel.
Bills defensive tackle Kyle Williams, my guest. You took a new step, obviously, last year in that dream when you helped lead the team to its first playoff trip in nearly two decades. Now, I know that reaching the playoffs is not the ultimate goal, but when you look back on the experience, what sticks out to you the most?
Well, I think the main thing for me, and I voiced this in a couple of different interviews and things like that, is I think outside of us obviously making the playoffs, which is great for our organization and our teammates and all that, is when it happened, the country really got an opportunity to see what the community of Buffalo and the Buffalo Bills fans were, with all the reactions, the tears, the cheering, the jumping up and down, young, old, everywhere in between, from bars to living rooms. I thought that was the greatest thing that came out of that playoff berth, was an opportunity for the country, for the Buffalo Bills fan base to be showcased to them.
Very clear how much you love that community, and the community loves you back. Now that you've had that experience and you can build on it, does it feel like you enter this season as a different team with even bigger expectations?
You know, I try not to put any kind of expectations or goals, whether it be on myself or on our team. You know, my only thing that I will harp on continually is, hey, you get an opportunity, and we're going to do our best today. Whatever that means, we're going to go out there, and we're going to work, and we're going to get better today at the smallest things. Is it running to the football? Is it hand placement? Is it communication? We're going to work on the smallest things today, and we're going to let that play out. You know, we're going to work. We're going to give a playoff caliber effort every day, and we're going to do it from now, you know, May 29th, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, all the way through into January. And then when we get through New Year's Day or whatever it is with our last game, then we'll look up and see where we are.
We're talking to Kyle Williams. You know, Kyle, you mentioned Sean at the top of the interview. That, of course, is your head coach, Sean McDermott. He raved about not only what you mean on the field, but what you mean in that locker room and how you helped him connect his message to the team. What was that first year under McDermott like for you?
It was good. You know, I think that it's rare this day and age when you bring a coach in and he describes to you the vision of what he wants his team to look like, the way he wants his team to prepare day in and day out, and the way he wants his team to compete on Sundays, and everything that he says rings a bell with you. You know, you really see things the same way. You believe it the same way. You believe that hard work and grit will overcome most everything. And I think that was really what our team showcased last year. You know, everybody wanted to call it the Band of Misfits, whatever you wanted to call it. We had a lot of guys who competed their tail off, and they stuck together, and good things happened.
Listen, Kyle, I know you're never going to make it about you, but I just want to reiterate that you are beloved in Buffalo, and now you're closing in on the top 10 in team history for the most games played in a Bills uniform. I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment for anybody, but especially for somebody who is a fifth-round draft pick. What do you remember about when you first joined that team, and then what was your mindset and approach back then?
Well, you know, you're sitting there and you're trying to figure out, hey, where am I going to go live? I had a young wife at the time. You know, we're coming up on, I think we're about to have a baby, you know, so we're trying to figure out where we're going to live and where we're going to go. And for me, my mindset of coming to Buffalo or wherever I may have ended up was the only thing that I thought that I was entitled to was an opportunity to compete. And that's all I wanted. And that's really, in my mind, that's all that I needed. And I knew that the league that I'd played in, the school that I'd played in, I'd played against a lot of these guys in the past, and I knew that my game would match up, and I knew that hard work would carry me over the top and make sure that I was able to stick and get the job done, you know, and then here we are, you know, 13 years later.
Yeah, here we are. I mean, if I had told Kyle Williams in 2006 that he'd be preparing for his 13th season and would be an all-time Bills legend, what would that Kyle Williams have said? Would he have believed it?
Well, I would have probably told you the same thing I would tell any of these guys now. You know, anything, you can do anything, but the only thing that's ahead of me right now is a lot of work, and anything is possible from there. You know, if you go out and you give it all you got, you know, every day at practice, every day during the game, you know, you never know what your limitations are unless you push them. And, you know, obviously we've been very blessed and very lucky to be a part of this organization, and it's been a great time. I'm glad to be here. And, you know, one thing that I've always heard, you know, that the minutes are long, but the years are short. And that's definitely true when it comes to this game of football.
I think that's definitely true when it comes to life. That's a great point. Listen, one more thought. I mean, you don't stay in the game as long as you have and play it at the level that you have without having a burning desire to be great and a drive to keep learning and keep getting better. I mean, it'd be a lot easier just to roll out of the bed every single morning, Kyle, and say, I'm Kyle Williams. I'm a 5-time Pro Bowler. I'm good enough as it is. So what are the things that motivate you and excite you to improve each day at this juncture of your career?
Well, the thing for me is, can my habits better help someone improve their game? Can my view of the game, the way that I see things, if I can teach that to someone else, will it help a guy that's on the roster bubble or a guy that's going into a contract year? Is it going to help them up their game? Are all of these things going to benefit our football team, number one? You know, if I can pass along my knowledge, pass along my habits, my effort, the way that I work, the way that I study, to not just the D-line room, but defensively, offensively, to guy, younger guys around, that's only going to improve our football team. And I think it all comes back to, you know, that dream that we talked about at the beginning of the interview. You know, have I exhausted myself in pursuit of that dream? It's still out there. So I'm going to keep clawing. I'm going to keep chasing. And, you know, and I know for a lot of people, players that were much better players than I have, they never really fulfilled that. So, you know, they're not going to get another opportunity to come back. So when I get my opportunities, I'm going to give it my best shot.
That's exactly what you're talking about when you talk about exhausting yourself in pursuit. Kyle Williams, five-time Pro Bowler, all-time Bills great. Kyle, so good to get caught up. I appreciate you as always, and I appreciate the relationship. Thank you for the interview.
Jim, good to talk to you, my friend. Have a good one.
You too, Kyle. Have a great one. Kyle Williams. Kyle freaking Williams, Bills Mafia. Bob Myers coming up when we come back. But Bills fans, if you want to talk about that, you know where to find me. Third hour straight ahead.